Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. And do you drink in secret? Drink to get drunk? Find yourself obsessively thinking about when you'll have your next drink? But you can't be an alcoholic, right? I mean, you have a great job. You're devoted to your kids and spend time with them. You never get arrested. You maintain healthy relationships with friends and family. Well, Sarah Allen Benton comforted herself with the same line of thinking for years. And she is the author now of Understanding the High-Functioning Alcoholic, out from Prager Publishers. Sarah Benton, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'll ask you about your own story in a little bit, but you say that 50% of alcoholics, or by some estimates 75% or even 90%, are high-functioning. What does the term actually mean?
Well, the term means that these individuals are alcoholics, just as every other alcoholic, but that it manifests differently for them in the sense that they're showing up for work, they're doing well in school, they're maintaining their friendships. So the outside is looking really good, but the truth is that they are drinking alcoholically, and that can be daily, that can be episodic on the weekends, it can be after work. And so they're not fitting that stereotype that we imagine of the homeless bum on the street. And therefore, they're sliding through the cracks diagnostically. Friends and family are not categorizing them as alcoholic. And they themselves have a powerful sense of denial around their drinking.
But if someone drinks too much, yet is able to do their job, be a loving spouse and parent, and contribute to society, what's the harm? Why do they need intervention?
And that is a question I get so often. You know, what's the problem with being, you're functioning, what's the problem? But the truth is that they have an untreated condition that is chronic, it's progressive, lifelong, and potentially fatal. They may be engaging in risky behaviors, drinking and driving, blacking out, which is memory lapses, engaging in risky sexual behaviors. There's health risks. And the truth is that they're not learning to really cope with the stress of life with any other tool other than alcohol. And so oftentimes, you know, spouses or friends of these individuals will also report that there's a certain emotional disconnect between you and that person. And there's, you know, alcohol is their best friend. It's really hard to compete with that.
Listeners, is this segment hitting close to home, maybe a little too close to home? Is the economy driving you to drink or revealing the excessive drinking of someone close to you? What is it that concerns you? Call us at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Talk about your own high-functioning alcoholism in the present or from the past. Or go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show to post a story or a question for our guest, Sarah Benton, author of Understanding the High-Functioning Alcoholic. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 for your anecdotes or questions. Sarah, what was your situation? You are open about it in the book that you yourself comforted yourself for a long time, telling yourself that you were holding down a job, you were holding down your relationships. How did you figure out you were a high-functioning alcoholic?
Well, it was a long road, and that's part of why I wrote this book, was to really help to speed up the process for other individuals. But, you know, for me, I was able to go through high school and college and even graduate school, you know, graduating with honors. I had a lot of friends. I was involved in a lot of activities. But, you know, when I started drinking at the age of 14, I experienced blackouts right from the beginning. And, you know, to me, that was a normal response to drinking too much. And I didn't realize, you know, later on, I've seen that it was a warning sign. You know, in my 20s, I started to stand out, going to social functions with friends. They were still drinking, but they were phasing out of their college drinking ways, and I wasn't. And over time, I started to try to control my drinking. I would stop drinking for periods of time. I would try different drinks, drink water in between drinks. I tried for about 4 years different methods, and I failed. I continued to go back to those heavy drinking ways. I was powerless, and it took my own experimentation to get to that conclusion. And even after that, it was still difficult because I just didn't feel that I fit that image of the alcoholic. I could not imagine myself having that label.
Did you wind up giving up alcohol altogether or scaling back your drinking?
I eventually got sober, so I've been in recovery for over 5 years. I found that I tried to do some moderation, and it didn't work for me. And I often encourage people, and I am a therapist, to try some controlled drinking and see if people are able to cut back and set limits for yourself, because that's a real good indicator as to what your relationship is to alcohol. And for me, I learned I wasn't able to moderate.
Are certain professions or certain personality types at greater risk of being high-functioning alcoholics?
Well, I think sometimes certain personality types migrate to certain professions, and I think the legal field could be an example of that, sort of a workaholic culture, a perfectionist nature. And a lot of the individuals, the sober, high-functioning alcoholics that I interviewed for my book, had a lot of reports of personalities of being perfectionists, goal-oriented, really attached to material and outside success to sort of define themselves, and pushing themselves hard. That work hard, play hard mentality is definitely all in keeping with personality traits for people who are able to maintain being alcoholic, but also showing up for work. I mean, these are people who are pushing themselves through the hangover. They're not using alcohol as an excuse to not do things. In a sense, it's almost motivation to overachieve and subconsciously prove that they don't have a problem.
Jill in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC with Sarah Benton, author of Understanding the High-Functioning Alcoholic. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Brian. I really think that you hit the nail on the head that so what? Because, I mean, now I hear that this woman's a therapist. I think they're their own worst enemy. And everybody needs a coping mechanism to get through life, whether it be picking your nose, biting your nails. Why is having a drink, because it's alcohol and that's something to jump on, that having a drink once a day is a problem? Every day you come home from work, you have one or two drinks. I don't see that that's an issue if the person is high functioning and they don't have any other issues.
So, Jill, stay there for a minute. And I think this anonymous caller in Brooklyn might have an answer to your question. Hi, thanks so much for calling in.
Hello, Brian.
Did you hear Jill?
Yes, I sure did.
And?
Basically, the whole concept of functional alcoholic, it's flawed. There's a hole in it. As a child of someone who spent a time functional alcoholic and with this theme in my family, because they pride themselves on always providing for their family, there was always a roof over our head, always clothes on the children's back. But at a certain point, all of us as children had to care for our parents in ways that were inappropriate because we were children and they were the parent, whether it was putting them to bed or seeing them cry with food in the bed, just experiencing I've had as a child, which eventually, as an adult now, I have issues caring for people sometimes because it takes me back a little bit, you know? So whether or not you're keeping your job or whatever, there are so many other aspects of life that if you're medicating yourself and you're not dealing with the real issue, they're going to manifest. It's going to bleed over into other situations, particularly if you have children, because there are going to be those holes where the children have to fill them in, and that's not our job.
In the case of your parent, did anybody else outside the home get on to what was going on, or was it really just you who had to deal with it?
I have kind of a bond with my first cousins because we've all had to deal with it. And at a certain point in our teenage years, we discussed it a little bit because it was coming out, whether we were writing poems about it or what the case may be. And
right.
It's also interesting in my family, no one calls themselves sober. They just say, oh, you know, so-and-so doesn't drink anymore. And we all know what it was like when they did.
But in the workplace, it was covered up among social circles.
The bills were paid. Everything was taken care of on the outside. But that's the whole gist. It's on the outside. It's not the nooks and crannies. And it's only the people that have that intimate interaction with the person that are going to tell you where the fallout really is.
Thank you so much for calling in your candor. I appreciate it. Jill, did she give you pause?
Yeah, I was listening. But all of these people are talking about blatant alcoholics. They were not, her parents were not functioning people. If they were passed out in bed and the children had to care for them, they were alcoholics. I'm talking about somebody who doesn't fit that category, which the first person was saying, a much more generalized situation. The person who has a drink every day or two drinks every day, yet they're functioning and going to work and they're high achievers and they're doing well in life, right, is a lot different than having children that have to take care of their parents because they're passed out in bed.
Okay. So, Joe, I'm sorry to cut you off. Let me get an answer from Sarah Allen Benton. Is that the right distinction? Was our anonymous caller from Brooklyn really telling a story of parents who are not high-functioning alcoholics because of how it came out at home?
No, they are describing it. I'm talking about a person who's able to provide on the outside, but what the caller was saying from Brooklyn is that emotionally they weren't provided for. And this other caller on the line right now, I'm talking about alcoholics, not social drinkers. And having a drink in the evening after work is not what I'm referring to. I'm talking to individuals who, when they start drinking, they can't control their intake. They're obsessing about alcohol. The alcohol is their best friend. They're behaving in ways that are against their own morals and their own values, and they're repeating the cycle over and over again. So there's a continuum. There's social drinkers, there's people with problem drinking episodes, and then there's alcoholics. And I'm talking about alcoholics. There's a definite distinction.
Jill, thanks a lot for piping up. I wonder if there's a line. Is it X drinks a day? Is there any way that you can measure it and say, okay, now you're a high-functioning alcoholic?
There isn't. And again, to clarify, high-functioning alcoholics are alcoholics. So whatever criteria works for alcoholics in general, lower-functioning alcoholics, it's what happens to the individual when they drink. And so there isn't necessarily a number of drinks that says you are an alcoholic. There are numbers of drinks that are, according to the National Institute of Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism, they qualify you as a low-risk drinker.
Mm-hmm.
So for women, that is under 7 drinks per week. And then for men, it's, I think, under 14 per week. So that's talking about a low-risk drinker. When it comes to being alcoholic, it's about what happens to the individual when they drink and their relationship to alcohol.
The caller from Brooklyn said they were drinking and not dealing with the underlying problem.
Mm-hmm.
Is that really what it comes down to, that there are unresolved underlying issues that the high-functioning alcoholics have or are avoiding?
Well, I think that everyone starts drinking for one reason and possibly ends up drinking for another. So, you know, those individuals may have started drinking when they were in high school or when they were in college socially and for fun. And then over time, it becomes the default way to deal with everything. And so in a sense, they don't have to deal with the issues, or they feel guilt about the way that they're acting. And then they drink to relieve that pain of the guilt. And it becomes a vicious cycle.
Chris in Armonk, you're on WNYC. Hi, Chris.
Good morning, Brian. I can share some of the characteristics of the writer in this case. I, for example, like to have a cocktail at the end of the day. I have a bottle of scotch in my office. It's in the bottom file drawer. And I know people in professional positions like mine where they've got a bottle in the bottom of their drawer too. And at the end of the day, I will tell you, at 6 o'clock, I will pour myself, not every day, but let's put it this way, close enough. And I like doing it.
Do you think you have a problem?
I worry about it.
Sarah, you're a therapist too. We have a minute left in the hour. What advice would you give to Chris, who is at that point of worry right now?
Well, set some limits for yourself and try for a week to not have that drink at the end of the day and see what that experience is like for you, because that can often give you an indication of your relationship to alcohol. If you don't ever try to control it, it's really hard to say.
Chris, good luck. Thank you for calling in. Half a minute left. Are there more high-functioning alcoholics in big cities since people can rely on public transportation and because there's such a culture of socializing and ambition?
They're everywhere, quite honestly. And for more resources, please feel free to go to my website at highfunctioningalcoholic.com. There are some online screening tests for people who are questioning their own drinking and some resources.
What's that web address again?
highfunctioningalcoholic.com.
And Sarah Allen Benton is the author of Understanding the High Functioning Alcoholic. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much for having me and for talking about the subject.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC.